talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to LA Talk Radio Channel 1. To call in, dial 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815.
You're listening to Teen Trends with Dave and Friends, with your host, David Cohen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
LATalkRadio.com, the best internet talk station in the world. Here we are every single Sunday, here to help you guys out.
Got you on my mind again tonight.
This is Teen Trends with Dave and Friends. I'm your host, David Cohen. We are here every Sunday from 1 to 2 Pacific Standard Time on LATalkRadio.com, the best internet talk station in the world. Are we right?
Yes, you are
right.
Yes,
we are.
It is absolutely the best.
So, of course, we have co-host Kevy.
Hello.
How's
friends.
It going, Kevy? We got Tessa.
Hello.
And Dr. Michelle.
My pleasure to be here today. Thank
well,
you.
Well, I want to thank you very much, Dr. Michelle. It's always a pleasure to have you on the air.
Thank you.
Because you're just great.
Thank you.
You're just awesome.
Give me a plug.
Check this out. You guys can also listen to Dr. Michelle on LATalkRadio.com every Friday at 11. Check her out.
Thank you.
She's cool. On the Couch with Doc Michelle. That's the one.
Thank you.
You know, I've been on the couch a few times. She's helped me out.
Well, yeah, you're a good person, and I think I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad I could be of help to you.
Of course. How are you, Kevy? How are you doing?
I'm doing quite swell.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tessa.
Yes, sir.
How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good.
Yeah?
Good.
Very cool.
Good.
So, as everybody knows, yesterday was indeed September 11th.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
It was.
Today being September 12th, much of today's show will be dedicated to the victims and families of the September 11th attacks on the U.S., which happened 9 years ago
wow.
yesterday. Can you believe it's
That's
been
amazing.
9 years?
It's been a while.
Yeah.
Doesn't feel like 9 years.
Yeah, I know. A lot of the flashes of, you know, what do they call them? Flashbulb memories of where you were when it happened and all that.
Right.
Yeah.
It just seems like it was not too long ago.
No, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to make something clear for everybody listening, for all of our listeners worldwide. This show is not meant to depress listeners. We don't want to do that.
No.
It just make you happy. But to encourage them to talk about their concerns and open the radio lines for anyone to give their point. You know, their views about this topic, what they think about the future, you know. About, like, terrorists and...
Right.
You know. Also, I always ask listeners to talk about, you know, things that's on their minds, whether it's relationships, school, family, or any kind of issue.
Yeah.
You know, along with talking about September 11th.
Maybe how they manage their fears and stuff, too. How can they, you know, overcome a lot of fears about... I mean, that's, like, a big thing, fears of terrorism.
Right.
You know, how can people overcome
right.
and manage that? I mean, that's a really good one.
Right.
You know.
No, it is. But, you know, I do want to make something clear that, like I said earlier, along with talking about, you know, 9/11,
mm-hmm.
we still are here to help in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
Therefore, you know, you can call us about anything. Something's on my mind, Dave. Hey, Doc Michelle.
Yes.
Something's on my mind.
Okay.
Help me out.
And I just want to say that when I'm here on the show, I'm not... having a therapeutic relationship with the listeners. It's just advice and entertainment
yeah.
and, you know, maybe helping listeners out if I can.
You're so entertaining, Doc.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
No, you are. Okay. So, if you guys would like to call in live on the air, you can do so. 323-203-0815. Once again, that number is 323-203-0815. Or you can email me, teentrendswithdave@gmail.com. Once again, that's teentrends, just like the show.
Yeah.
With Dave at gmail.com. Email me your thoughts, concerns, something that's on your mind. And you'll hear it on the air if we have enough time for you.
You have some listeners that wrote in.
You're special enough.
Do you have listeners that wrote in?
Yeah, no, I did. Uh-huh. I got a few emails on the 9/11 thing because, as you know, we post the topic on our Facebooks every week.
Yeah.
We post what the topic's going to be about. And we get a lot of emails on the Facebook messages.
Mm-hmm.
We also get a lot of emails under teentrendswithdave@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, let's get to it.
Okay.
Something that I was a bit hesitant about doing this topic, to be completely honest, is so many people have their own beliefs. So many people have been affected in their own way, shape, or form. It's a very sensitive subject.
Yeah.
Terrorism. How so, with the conspiracy theories about 9/11, or?
Well, not so much a conspiracy. I mean, sure, yeah. But I would say a lot of just people have been affected in a different way. It's a very sensitive subject because look at what happened.
Yeah.
It's very scary.
And people have their own thoughts, they have their own beliefs, they have their own interpretations of what happened, why it happened, who did it, this and that. And, people get riled up about it.
Well, yeah, exactly. And Al-Qaeda took responsibility for it, but, there's a lot of other theorists that say, well, maybe they didn't, and the government should have, acted sooner.
Done this, done that.
Right. Should have. But the reality is it happened, and now we're kind of facing terrorism on a much larger scale than we ever have in this country. It's very scary.
And I think that's why it's, a scarier thing. That's why it's a bigger thing.
And this brought on a war. We are now 9 years into a war.
Oh, yeah. The war on terrorism. Yeah. That's right.
I'm sorry, go on.
I was just going to say the war on terrorism, which is being fought in Iraq, which had no part in the 9/11 attacks.
Well, yeah, I mean, that was...
Me personally, I believe that the war is, a bunch of different things put together. That's a completely different subject.
But he has a right to express his feelings.
No, of course. But I think that, the war has a lot to do with way more than just the terrorist attacks.
Yeah, exactly.
I did this poll, or I found this poll online, to where people recently asked 13 to 17 year olds what are they most afraid of. Get this, terrorism was mentioned by 10%.
Wow.
Yeah. The most frequently mentioned topic, most teens said terrorism or terrorists. Right?
Wow.
About 1 in 20 named some aspect of a war as their greatest fear, including a third world war, war on U.S. soil, and being drafted.
Wow. Yeah.
I actually have something about being drafted, which is a trip. The day after I turned 18, I got this letter in the mail from the National Guard, right?
Yep.
And it said, "Hey, David, you're about that age. You can send us back an envelope with your information, and we'll get you started."
That's exactly what happened to me. I think it was the Army that contacted me.
Right.
When
I was when I just turned 16, the Army contacted me and they're like, you should think about joining the Army before you go to college. And
when you were 16?
Yeah, and they're like, here's a medal. We can promise you skipping ranks. It was weird.
That's amazing.
They sent me a letter and it was like, yeah, if you join the Army, then it's definitely gonna help you in life because you can skip ranks.
And that, that can, instill fear in teens. Oh my gosh,
that
I don't want to go to
up.
War.
That tripped me up.
Yeah.
When you get a letter from the Army or the National Guard, or some sort of, hey, you're going to fight for our country type thing.
Well,
It's scary.
Yeah, well, my dad, he was, I think, 20 when Vietnam started.
Right.
And so instead of, this is off the subject a little bit, but instead of being drafted, he just joined the Army first. Mm-hmm. So he had the ability to choose, but that's a completely different story.
No.
And it was different then, too. I mean, I think a lot of, teens are really, you know, faced, and young adults are really faced with the probability of, is the war useful? Is it really what they can do to support their country? So,
I feel like. Yeah. We have a caller on Teen Trends. We're going to take this right now.
Great.
Hello, you are live on the air, Teen Trends with Dave and Friends. What's up?
Huh, sounds like they can't hear you.
Hello. Alrighty, thank you for calling.
Back.
We have another caller. Teen Trends with Dave and Friends. You're live on the air. How's it going? What is going on with these calls,
man? Yeah, I don't know.
Man?
They just dropped. Have them call back.
Yeah, we will.
That happens to me all the time.
You can call us back. 323-203-0815. I want to get back to what teens are afraid of. So fear of failure or if not succeeding in life is about it's about, you know, as common as, believe it or not, terrorism.
Huh. In That's terms of their fears
in
on
terms
this
of
poll?
Their fears, yeah.
Wow. Was that a Gallup poll that was taken?
Yes. It was
company?
A Gallup poll,
yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I just find that interesting, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
You know what would be really interesting?
Hmm.
To get a Gallup poll before 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
Well, obviously that's completely impossible. But like to find a Gallup poll before, you know, 9/11, ask the same question to 13 to 17 year olds.
Yeah.
And then after.
I feel like terrorism wouldn't even be on that list.
Yeah.
Because 9/11 basically, yes, we lost 3,000 plus American lives, and people from other countries, but I think it mostly just instilled fear upon the U.S. people.
Well, when was the poll taken?
When was the poll taken? It does not give a date when the poll was taken.
Oh.
No, it does not. We have the same caller. Teen Trends with Dave and Friends. You're live on the air. Who are we talking to? Hello.
I think we're just having drop calls.
Yeah,
today.
We keep dropping calls.
Maybe give out the number. Maybe I don't know.
No, they're calling the right number.
Okay.
They just, do you hear breathing?
I hear some breathing.
Someone's just going to breathe on the line. What were some of the other fears on your list that you had?
They said
that's so interesting.
Yeah, no, totally. I personally think it's very cool. Making mistakes that will mess up my life, not be successful, not measuring up. Not getting into a good college. Okay. Tessa, talk to us
about college. About the college.
Yeah, go Tessa.
I'm your personal fears about college girl.
Yeah, no, it's really true. Tessa, you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You
want to get into college.
I want to get into college.
Oh, you will.
Well, obviously she will. She's Tessa.
The thing is, I started out with like my biggest fear being, what if I don't go to the right college? My parents aren't going to like me, blah, blah, blah.
Aww.
Yeah, no, it was really scary. And then I got to the point where, you know, I don't need to go to an Ivy League school to succeed in life.
Yeah.
I can, no matter what college I go to,
it's
going to be the right college for me. And that's why I'm going to choose that college.
Totally.
I think that's a good attitude.
And you know what? That's how you overcame your fear.
That's how I overcame it.
There you go.
And you are less fearful now that you've decided that and you don't feel like as much stress is put upon you.
Yeah, right. Like yesterday, as a matter of fact, yesterday I took the ACT, which is the equivalent of the SAT. But
right. Yesterday?
Yesterday.
Good for you, girl.
Oh, yeah.
That's
you
great.
You go, girl.
Thanks. And, you know, the first time I took it, I was so worried. I was like, oh, what if I don't get a good grade on this? Colleges actually look at this. But then the second time around, like, the first time I got it, I got a 26, which was still in the 85 percentile.
Right.
So, like, no matter what you do, as long as you don't fail it, you're going to get into the right place for you.
Right. Like, totally.
Exactly.
We have a caller. Teen Trends with Dave and Friends. Check it out. I hope we don't drop this one. You are live on the air, Teen Trends with Dave and Friends. Who are we speaking to?
Hi, it's Izzy and Mary.
Hi.
Hello, Izzy and Mary. How are you girls doing?
We're good, thank you. How are you?
We're doing swell. What's up? Talk to us.
We were Oh, Mary, you go, sorry.
So the topic today is 9/11.
It is indeed.
And we wanted to give you our input on how it was for us.
Now, obviously, Mary and Izzy are British.
Right, no, yeah. they're from England.
Yeah.
It's really cool to hear this perspective from a different country, mm-hmm. not like U.S. citizens.
Right.
Go for it, girls.
Obviously, the whole world was affected. In England, me and Izzy were still small, and I still remember it to this day.
Yeah.
How did you feel?
Everything just scared. It was so scary. Everything, the whole of England was like at a standstill. Obviously, I can't even imagine what it was like in America. My mum at the time was away in a different country on business, and she was just calling us, checking if we were okay, which just shows that it did truly affect the whole world.
Right.
Well, also, I was only 7, mm-hmm. which is a bit weird, but one of my best friend's dads should have been working in the building at the time crash, so she was just really shaken up by everything because that could have been her dad who was killed.
Wow.
Yeah. Which is a bit
that's
weird.
Really intense. That's ridiculous.
And that kind of things, you know, those kind of things really bring it, you know, to reality when it personally affects us or we know someone who could have been killed, you know, in the disaster.
Right.
You know, let alone watching the terror on TV. But so you girls felt the fear as well, even when you were in London.
Yes, definitely.
Wow, that's amazing.
Every year since, my family have been watching documentaries and, you know, all the films that are being viewed in England. So every year, no one forgets about it.
Right.
And we used to have the whole 2-minute silences at school, at work, anywhere where you were.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
It's so interesting to hear your different perspective, though.
No, it is, because, you know, like, obviously, you know, in America, like, clearly, like, you know, I would say that a good amount of people, like, reacted the same way in America, you know? For example, when Kevin and I and Tessa were talking about it on the car ride over to the station, you know, all of our parents pretty much kind of reacted the same way.
Mm-hmm. Everyone's just freaking out. We're just waking up. Parents are like, "Oh, come look at this. It's crazy."
Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
Or you know, I remember waking up and I remember my dad saying just, "Oh my God." You know? And what am I, like, 9 years old? I'm like, mm-hmm. like, "Whoa, Dad. What was that? What's going on?" And he's like, he's like, "Wow." He's like, "Do you think school's going to be canceled?" To, like, my mom. And my mom was like, "I don't know, honey." Like, and then I remember going into the fourth grade, and Miss Heed, who was my teacher, she all sat us down. She was, like, crying.
Aww.
Yeah, she sits us down, then she kind of, like, helps us, you know, conceptualize what had occurred. You know, because, mm-hmm. like, what are a bunch of nine-year-olds going to, like, know about?
No, exactly.
You know?
It's a scary thing.
Yeah.
It's really a scary thing. Mary and Izzy, could I ask you how you kind of cope with certain fears about, you know, problems in the world? How do you guys kind of manage your fears?
Well, personally, this sounds really weird, but I probably just chat to Mary about it.
That's
like,
good.
No joke.
Yeah, just talking, just believing that there is obviously good in the world, which will just overcome all the bad.
Yes, exactly. No, that's great.
That's, I like.
And you know, no, I always ask people when they come to me if they're having problems, no matter what it is, if it's fear of whatever, I say, what kind of support system do you have? And having even one best friend who you can talk to about your fears is so, so very important.
Yeah.
Mm. You know.
Yeah, family and friends.
Yeah, exactly.
Definitely.
So.
Yeah.
So I think it's, you know, it's really important. Yeah.
Well, Izzy and Mary, I want to thank you guys so much for calling on Teen Trends. It's always a pleasure to have you girls.
Thank you very much for having us.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah,
bye.
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 You know, all those ladies are so sweet and they're so intelligent.
They really are.
I love the way they speak.
No, it's cool. If you guys want to call in live on the air, you can do so. 323-203-0815. Once again, that number is 323-203-0815. Let's get back to...
Can I just... I just want to say something.
Yeah, no, please, Tessa,
well,
go on.
The thing is, like, we were talking about this in the car earlier as well, but the thing about 9/11 is that if you say it to any other American, there's a shared feeling. It's like some emotion
right.
that you're going to always share
right.
with another person. No matter if they're a stranger or a close friend, it's going to be the same feeling.
Yes.
It's something that we all share. But like it was really interesting because obviously around the world, it's the same feeling.
Right.
Right, and even though it's remote, you know, in a different... I mean, we hear about, you know, bombings all around the world all the time. And we're still
in England.
Exactly, we're still affected by it.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
we
still hear about terrorists. We still hear about Israel. We still, you know, no, it doesn't have to be Al-Qaeda.
Right.
It's all kinds of terror in the world. So, I mean, it, you know, it can really cause a lot of fear. So we have to, you know, really get a grip on it and yet not go into a shell or denial about the reality of, you know, what's going on out there in the world with some people.
So right, right.
I see you have some really important information about kind of how to deal with, which I thought was really amazing, some of the stuff you got.
No, I do. It's how to manage just kind of, you know, fear.
Yeah.
Just like a positive way how to manage fear. Once again, at the beginning of the show, we did say, this is not meant to depress you. This is not meant to, like, you know, put negativity within your consciousness. It's not meant to make you feel all down or whatever.
You're simply talking about it, and when you express your feelings about any situation, you're just getting it off your chest.
Right.
You know.
And also, you know, yesterday, of course, was the 9th year anniversary of 9/11.
Right.
You know, and it was just, it was heard around the world. So, you know, I guess people are still affected by it, and they had lots of moments of silences. They had a lot of, you know, I know in our country, they had a lot of meditation groups.
Right.
And they have, you know, on television.
Big ceremonies on
television. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Honoring, you know, the victims and their families as well. So it's really important. I think it's a great subject for today, Dave, that you brought it up.
Cool,
really
cool. Yeah, Kevin and I were just thinking about it, and we're like, dude, let's, you know, let's do that one. So confronting the fear of terrorism. At the root of all war is fear.
Mm-hmm.
Right. With all the changes in our nation and in our world since the escalation of terrorist attacks, people are finding themselves afraid. In this situation, it is normal to be afraid. We are hardwired to respond to threats to to our lives in this way.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
I mean, it makes sense.
It's the fight or flight.
Fight or flight.
Well, how are we going to deal with it? How do we make sense of it?
It's,
you know, we have no control.
Right.
You know.
The goal of terrorism is to incapitate through fear, to seize our emotional life, and take us hostage until we surrender in submission or self-destruct in panic.
Yeah, it's your choice, in other words.
Right. We can allow ourselves to be victims and let fear control us completely and panic. Or we can choose to comfort or confront the fear. Hey, comfort the fear!
Well, comforting is part of confronting, you know, is trying to comfort yourself, too, sometimes.
Right, no, that's true.
Yeah.
It's a play on words that actually made sense. And gain control of ourselves in the face of the powerful emotion of fear. We can feel fear, but we do not need to be ruled by it. The following steps can help rescue your emotional life from the very real fear of terrorism. Step one, allow the humanness of fear. Fear is a human emotion. It is an important survival mechanism that has helped us survive for thousands of years. Once we notice we are afraid, however, we do have some choices about what we will do with the fear.
And that's exactly what you said, Kevin, a little bit earlier about, you know, acknowledging it, not denying it, not shoving it down. I mean, you know, just sort of, you know, saying, yeah, wow, this is a real thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Totally. Step two, acknowledge the presence of the fear.
Just what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Okay. There is a strange paradox when it comes to controlling fear. I like this, actually, by the way. I was reading this earlier. This is a trip. The harder you fight the emotion of fear, the stronger it tends to grow.
Yeah.
Emotions are like messengers on the doorstep of your life and announcing its presence by, quote-unquote, knocking on the door. Right?
Right.
This, you can imagine the emotion of fear arriving, knocking, can be felt as a surge of adrenaline, increased heartbeat, rapid and shallow breathing, or a feeling of uneasiness in the pit of the stomach.
Mm-hmm.
If we refuse to acknowledge these feelings by denying their presence, they will only knock louder. The symptoms of fear either increase or they are expressed on deeper levels. Once we acknowledge and respect the messengers of fear, we can begin to have greater control over them.
Yeah.
Step three, last but not least, determine the message of the fear. Having recognized the presence of fear, you can then begin to listen to its wise message for you. This message is different for each person. For one, it might be a message regarding the need to take care of some preparation for increased safety. Right? For another, it might be a message to pay more attention in important relationships to make the most of them in the limited time we have. Each person can listen to their fear and hear a message for him or herself. Hint, it will always be about the same kind of need. Right? You can find this by filling in the blanks as follows. Check this out. Fill in the blanks as follows, listeners. The fear that I am experiencing is telling me I need to blank. You can make a list of all the needs that the fear is making you aware of, right?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, I would even say, become the observer of the fear, you know? Like, instead of being inside the fear, observe the fear.
Right.
Take a step out, allow yourself to observe it, and then fill in the blanks.
Putting it down on paper sometimes really helps you clarify your thoughts as well. And also, like you said, being the observer helps you examine.
Right.
Also, it's really important to, you know, once you've determined your needs, you can start to take actions to meet them in legitimate ways. And, you know, along the same lines, there are relatively small things we can do, like having a safety plan. And I know that sounds really weird. You know what I'm saying? People like, have water and, you know, make sure you have a safe plan. But, I mean, it's just kind of
reassuring. It is what it is. It's like if there's a fire, you know that you're going to be okay.
Yeah.
And we're not necessarily talking about terrorists attacking. I mean, we're just talking about managing our fears about things in life.
Right. Whatever your fears may be. But what if you're – okay, a big fear for me was public speaking.
Uh-huh, right.
And for me to get over that, I simply just had to
– Look at you now.
Look at me now. Look at me now.
Not like you're on the radio.
No, you have overcome. And that's called – exposure therapy. In other words, the more you expose yourself to the feared object or situation,
the more comfortable
you know
become.
You're not going to die.
Yeah, because all throughout life, or all throughout my life, I've never wanted to go up on stage and perform in front of people. Then I did acting, and I was still really timid. And then until I started looking into the mirror and just like performing into the mirror, just like looking at myself.
Right, you know. Exactly.
I could see baby Kevy in the mirror.
Yeah, cute.
For the fatal loins of these two foes, a pair of star-crossed lovers, take a lives of interest, pretty as
I know. But, you know, just like your
story. That's impressive, David.
That was impressive.
Just Romeo and Juliet.
Wow, that is good.
That was great.
Took theater for like 4 years or whatever, like, not a big deal.
And, you know, just like Kevin, you talked about your fear of, you know, public speaking and all that. So if you have constant stress, like a fear of that or whatever the fear could be, our emotions work over time. So what we have to do is we have to manage those physiological things along with exposure to your fear thing that you had, Kevin, which was public speaking. You can practice deep breathing if you start getting physiological heart rate, you know, elevation, blood pressure, all those things.
Deep breathing. I was just giving an example of what deep breathing is.
Yeah. Well,
In case you didn't know.
Stressed, our breathing is fast and shallow. We don't notice it, right? We don't ever think about it. But when we're relaxed, our breathing is slow and deep. So deep breathing is a powerful way to control anxiety and fear. And like also, if you practice relaxation of some type, meditation, it's been medically proven to help lower stress and anxiety. And it can kind of cut our baseline anxiety. It teaches our bodies and muscles to relax.
It does.
Relax, relax. And a big thing that I'm an advocate of as well is that mindfulness.
Right.
Our thinking affects our bodies and our overall mood. So the words we say to ourselves in our head can either simplify or amplify alarm, and you know, or it can soothe and relax us. So we got to pay attention to our self-talk. What's going on in our mind? You know, oh my gosh, this is going to happen. This is negative. This is negative. When you notice a stream of thoughts are not helpful, you can say the word stop.
Yeah.
In your head. I mean, I have some people who come to see me whose minds are going 100 miles an hour. They just can't stop thinking about fears.
Right. If you're dwelling too much into it, you can just, like, I've had this before, and you just realize, like, wow, I shouldn't be getting this far into it. I shouldn't be thinking about this as much. Get my mind off of it.
They have what's called I am here now, you know, thing, and you stop the thought. You stop, and you say, I have everything I need in this moment. Right?
Right.
And then you ask yourself, What do I have in this moment? And it keeps your mind off scary stuff.
That's true.
It's like you ask, who do I love? Who loves me? What am I happy about in my life right now?
Right.
What am I proud about in my life right now?
Yeah.
And what am I looking forward to in my life? That pulls you so far away from all these things that you create, these negative fears that
right?
you create.
That's another thing I wanted to touch on, Doc.
Yeah.
You know, any thought that you think, you're putting energy into something.
Right.
You know, you are literally putting, you know, think of it almost as tangible. Think
exactly.
of a thought as being tangible.
Right.
So the more you fear, the more you're like, oh my God, this is going to happen. Oh my God, I really hope this doesn't. The more you create it. Right?
Yeah.
That's just hands down. Like, the more you think about something, the more you will create it. Let it be super positive or super negative.
Mm-hmm.
Your thoughts dictate, you know, what you experience.
Right. Beliefs shape our interpretation of our world.
Right.
Totally.
Exactly.
And if you stay in the present, you know, and you don't keep going on and on and on and on, get distracted, like I said. You know, humor is a good thing, too. We got to have some chill time. We've got to laugh. We've got to relax.
Laughing is an excellent way to relieve
stress.
Just like
stress. Chill time, guys.
Exactly.
Like
you got to eat healthy. You got to get sleep. You got to exercise and do all that stuff. And talk to a good friend like Izzy and Mary, who the callers who came in a little bit earlier.
Oh, they're very cool.
That's really important.
Homies.
And if we don't like the way things are going on our world, we can do what we can to change it.
I agree.
Right? I mean, you guys, you are the new generation. I mean, you have, you know, ways of changing. I think the way, you know, exposed to technology now, you guys are amazing.
Right.
Your brains are so much more sophisticated, I think, than previous generation.
I wouldn't necessarily say they're more sophisticated. We've been presented with new information, new sophistications that we've learned to interpret.
I don't know if that's grammatically correct, but yeah, the human's knowledge is increasing. We're getting into numbers more.
Your neural pathways to problem solving are much more sophisticated than ours were.
Really?
That's
very
cool.
Absolutely. I think so. Absolutely.
Okay, thank you, Doc.
You're welcome.
That's
what I think.
Mad love, Doc. if that's cool, I want to move on to an email.
Yes.
Yeah. So as you guys know, we always post our topics on our Facebook either a week or a few days before the show. This is an email from Joshua. He goes, ever since 9/11, I haven't felt like myself. It isn't that I'm afraid or anything like that. It's more a feeling that a part of me is forever changed for the worse. Before 9/11, I was a pretty liberal person. I believed in civil rights, supported open immigration, and was far from racist or intolerant. But lately, all of that seems to have changed, and I'm very ashamed. I'm mistrusting people who look to be Arab or Middle Eastern. I feel annoyed when I see a news story about how the civil rights of some young Arab man have been violated since 9/11. I find myself watching very closely when somebody who seems to be Arab comes into a store, gets on a bus. I've even laughed at some anti-Arab jokes, the kind of jokes that would have once made me very mad. I've become... Oh, wow. He goes, I have become racist! Exclamation mark. Now that the government is raising the alarm about probable future terrorist attacks in the U.S., I'm even more suspicious of Arab-looking people. I wish that things could go back to the way they were. I wish I could go back to being the real me, quote-unquote.
Yeah.
But I just can't. Am I a bad person? Will I ever be normal again? Joshua.
Get out of that mindset,
Joshua.
Oh,
I feel bad for him.
That is mean. Okay, so yes, we had an
attack. That is mean.
That is.
No, I agree.
We had an attack on the U.S., and it was from Arabs. I don't know how to classify them. I don't want to offend anybody, but... We had an attack on the U.S. from certain-looking people, and just because they look a certain way doesn't mean you should now judge everyone who looks that way.
Right.
Because it's 20... there was 19 terrorists out of... How many people do we have? 13 billion people in this world?
Yeah.
It's...
Okay?
There's a bunch.
I think it's 6 billion, maybe.
In the world?
Yeah.
No.
Whatever the number is.
We do not have six. We have more than
six billion people.
In the planet?
Yes. Do you know what the billion is?
Someone should call in and tell us how many people we have in the world.
3232 3815
Someone please. Google it.
Answer the question.
Yeah, go ahead.
I just have a fun fact about, well, it's not really a fun fact, but my friend's dad is the head of construction.
Oh, you were saying that.
Yes.
And you were going to get him to call in.
I was going to try to get him to call in on the show, seeing that 9/11 is our topic today. But basically, my friend's dad is the head of construction for the new World Trade Centers.
Right.
And I talked to him on the phone yesterday. He was very busy at work. He was at the memorial ceremonies, like, doing all his thing. But he said he wasn't allowed to disclose any information.
Right.
But what I do know about these new buildings
Check this out. Put your... turn up your volumes on your head.
Turn up your volumes. It's
actually really cool.
This is exclusive.
It really is exclusive.
You look on Wikipedia and they are so false because I'm getting it from the guy who's head of construction. But
okay.
Basically,
no.
They're building a couple buildings in an L shape, and then in the middle of that L is going to be a huge fountain, which is going to be the memorial for the World Trade Centers. But there will be multiple buildings. They're not going to be bigger than the old buildings.
Right. They're not going to be as tall.
Tall. But there's going to be like three or four. I'm not sure exactly. But I do know the L shape and then the memorial in the middle.
That's really sick.
So
that is really amazing.
And the buildings will be done in 2013.
Oh, 2013. Okay. I'm reading that it says 2012. It says they're saying – I mean, that's crazy because, I mean, that's a really – that's a deadline that I don't know if – that can be met a year from now, rebuilding, reconstructing the whole
2 years.
And I'm pretty sure they just finished.
Well, like a year and 4 months.
I mean 2011.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I'm pretty sure though that they've just recently finished cleaning up all the debris. You know.
Exactly.
Not just recently, but within the past year or so. But you know, it's
still ground zero.
Still ground zero.
No, exactly. And I think that's wonderful. So they're taking place in the your one of your good friend's dads is heading up the construction over there, huh?
Yeah.
That is just amazing, and it is sort of a hush hush thing. So
it is a hush hush.
That is just amazing to me that you have a connection like that. I recall something, a really close call that I just wanted to share, and this really got me thinking.
Please do. By the way, I'm sorry to interrupt, Dr. Michelle. We got an email from a listener.
Uh huh.
6.6 million people on the planet.
Oh. Oh, yeah. Brownie points.
Billion.
Billion people.
Billion. Yeah, billion people on the planet. Because we asked somebody to let us know how many people are in the planet. Tessa gets the cookie.
Yeah.
Okay. Dr. Michelle, you can go on.
Oh, no.
I just want to let people know because that's what we were talking about.
I was thinking of our national debt.
Maybe that's what I was thinking.
I think it's either 130 million or 30 million people in America.
Whatever. Dr. Michelle, go on.
I was just thinking about my situation is I was with my family on the week of, September 11th, 2001, on a cruise. And we befriended another family, really nice lady and her husband and their child, who was, I think he was 8 years old.
Okay.
And we had a wonderful time on the cruise, and we all flew back. They lived in New York. I told you about
this. Yeah, I remember you telling me
about
this.
They lived in New York, and, of course, we flew back to Los Angeles. They flew back on September 10th to New York. The boy attended a school in downtown right near the Twin Towers.
Right.
I called them that afternoon to make sure they were okay. The mom worked downtown, and she described to me, being on a Caribbean cruise for a week and then coming back to this horror. And I couldn't, we became very attached to this family, and we were spending a good week with them, and it was amazing what we heard from them. I mean, she described, she didn't want to put her son on the phone because, we just said, give him our love, but how he was running, literally running down the street out of the school, seeing the buildings in flame and blowing up. And all the kids were, running down the street out of the school at that time.
Wow.
It was just an amazing story.
That's
and the culture
crazy.
Shock.
Wow.
And through communication with her, they've gotten their lives back together. Of course, the young man they provided, you know, counseling for the children, a lot of volunteers and stuff in New York. And she's gotten back on track again. Their family's, you know, back on track. And I believe they moved, you know, outside of the city. But, you know, it's an amazing thing to hear people who experienced it directly and how connected you are. Just like you talked about. And this is a positive thing with your friend's dad, you know, rebuilding. You know.
Yeah, that is crazy. Like hearing it right from there. I have a story of my own, if that's okay.
No, yeah, please.
I was in New York a week before the 9/11 attacks.
Wow.
With my family. My grandfather had passed away, and we were at his funeral. And so we were sightseeing for a day or two in New York, and I saw the World Trade Centers with my brother, and I was like, Carrie, I was talking to my dad. I was like, Daddy, I really want to go up in those buildings. And he's like, Kevin, next time we come back, we will be able to go there.
They will always be there. I remember you telling me that.
A week later. Exactly a week later. 9/11.
That's ridiculous. That's really ridiculous. We actually have another caller on Teen Trends with Dave and friends, so let's see what's up. Hello, you are live on the air. Teen Trends with Dave and friends. Who are we speaking to?
So we were sightseeing.
Hey, guys. My name is Jack.
What's going on, Jack?
Hey, I was just, you know, listening to the show, and I got a little story. My grandfather worked, you know, in downtown.
Right.
And the day of the attacks, you know, he got up at his normal time. He actually worked in the towers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he got up at his you know, normal wake up, got coffee, and for whatever reason decided to catch a later train to work.
Wow.
And because of that, you know, he's still living and he's still breathing, because I mean, had he got on his normal train, I don't know, you know, he would no longer be with us.
That's ridiculous.
And that's the thing, when you know somebody and it touches you so closely, it's amazing. Yeah.
Right. Something really interesting specifically about that day is I know I've heard two other stories that are so similar to that, in the sense of like, oh, well, literally if this person, one of our friends' dads is a pilot, and he was gonna do the flight for the 9/11 flight.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And, yeah, right? Believe it or
that's
not.
That's one of your friend's fathers?
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, you hear a lot of stories like
but
that.
But he didn't,
though.
Long story short. Like, it was just like, you know, something happened to where his flight got switched, which is pretty ridiculous.
And it makes you start thinking about fate and religion and God's presence and how, why him and not me? You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, totally.
You know, so it's really interesting. But that's a really good story about, you know, what you were talking about, your connection with your grandfather and how that was so close.
Right. Right.
It's really cool. You know what else I think is really cool is a lot of people don't remember that it not only happened, you know, it happened, of course, at the World Trade Center, but also at the Pentagon. The hijackers crashed that third airliner into the Pentagon.
Right.
And the fourth into a field in Pennsylvania.
Right, right, exactly. Right. Near Shanksville.
Yeah.
And that's the one where the passengers and flight
crew, yeah.
They tried to take control of the plane and all
that.
Oh,
right, right,
that
right.
was amazing. The heroes that were acknowledged, and they had the black box recordings of all that.
Right.
So, you know, it's just amazing. You know, all over the country, how, you know, the hijackers intentionally crashed two of the airliners, like I said, into the Twin Towers, but all in different places in the country. Just
right.
It was just frightening, the statement that was made.
Right.
You know,
Jack, Jackie boy.
I guess he's not.
Davey boy.
Oh, there he is.
Oh, Davey boy. I like that. I want to thank you so much for calling in, sharing your story. It's always a pleasure to hear from our listeners, how they relate. Thank you very much. You have a wonderful day, and God bless.
Oh, it was a cool story.
Yeah, that was cool.
I really.
That was a great day too. Great show, you guys.
Thanks, brother.
Thanks, Jack.
We actually have another caller on Teen Trends. Gonna grab this one. How's it going? You're live on the air. Teen Trends with Dave and friends. Who are we speaking to?
Hey, this is Rob.
How's it going, Rob?
I'm,
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We're doing great.
Hey, Rob.
How can we help you?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Yeah. Well, I'm 30 years old, and I've been listening to your show off and on for the past number of, about probably the past 6 months.
Okay.
And you teens have gotten, where have you gotten all your knowledge? You know, to me, you're so sophisticated, and for being so young, you have a really good points of view. So where'd you get all this information?
Well, thank you very much, Rob. That's very kind of you. I think that kind of relates to what we were talking about earlier, where, schools, for example, let's just say, hypothetically speaking, math class, and, this is just one, small example. Math class, when I was in 8th grade, 9th grade, 10th grade, I would come home, I'd be like, hey, Dad, can you help me with math? And he'd be like, yeah, and then he'd be like, whoa, he's like, I wasn't doing this stuff until I was in my first, second year of college, So I think a lot of it has to do with just, we're taught more advanced things at a younger age, which only lead, for more...
A higher thought process.
Right.
Per se. And, puzzle solving. I personally got this knowledge on eBay. That was my way of acquiring
my eBay.
Knowledge.
Explain eBay.
eBay?
Yeah.
How'd you get it on eBay?
He bought it.
The buy it now price, $55.
Oh, so you were buying information,
You just plug it into your brain and download it.
I also got my knowledge on the internet, so.
And here's the thing. I mean, what Rob is his name? Rob?
Yeah, Rob.
What I see, too, with young people who come, into my office a lot is that, we talked about this earlier, and it's the technological advances. I mean, they have instant communication, instant information. They have access to all these things that you probably started to have. You're 30 now. You probably had, but not as much as now and what the kids are exposed to. And I also think the media. I mean, I think the teachers are much more open with the information that's going on in the world.
Right.
And I think the kids are much more savvy about what's going on in the world and are able to express their feelings. Like, there's different venues.
I do agree.
And talk about it.
Along with exposure,
Exactly.
Right.
Exposure.
Well, when this happened, I was in college. Yeah. And it was a shocking thing for college. I went to Cal State Northridge, and it was amazing. Everyone was very, very shocked when this happened, and it was it really changed my opinion of the Muslim community. And I know that we can't blame the Muslims for this, but what the Quran teaches and what people are saying, a lot of things on the internet I just don't trust.
Okay.
I think a lot of people have to get a lot more knowledge about the Muslim community and a lot of Muslim Americans, in this country and their belief systems, and kind of separate them from that so-called terrorist mindset.
Kind of like Joshua's email.
Because that's like stereotyping a big group of people. And I think what the media did, the media always sensationalizes. And I think what they did to turn a lot of Americans against Muslims is showing Muslims burning American flags. Right after 9/11, you would see it every day on the news, Muslims burning American flags, American flags being burned by just different cultures, and
indeed, it's scary, and it's so easy to attribute, terrorist acts to all Muslims or whatever, but I think, what I'm saying, I think that we all have to, just be real and get more informed.
Yeah.
Yeah, the thing that changed my perspective on it is when I was in middle school, we had this huge segment in our teaching of different religions, and one of them that was most interesting to me was the Muslim faith, because it gets such a bad rep that it only wants to kill everything else. But if you think about it, Christianity was the same way. I mean, they did conquer most of the world.
It's very interesting, the different belief systems, but I mean, I really respect what you're saying.
Rob.
Hello? Is he there?
Yeah.
Rob, there you are. I want to thank you so very much for calling in. We always like to get, listeners' perspectives. We like to hear from you guys, make sure everything's going good. I want to thank you very much. You have a wonderful day, Rob.
Well, I really love your show.
All right, brother. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Rob.
Yeah. Good.
That was fun.
Yeah, this is nice. Really, you know what I'm feeling in the studio here? This is really, you know, it's not a happy topic. I mean, but we all have to be,
the energy in this studio
right now is pretty
down,
heavy, and a lot of the callers I don't think wanted to call in, you know, as much. You know, I really appreciate the callers, but it was just, you know, it's not a happy topic. But if we can, you know, do positive things to improve and manage our fears, I think that's the way it is.
I agree.
Yep.
Guys, this has been an absolutely wonderful episode of Teen Trends with Dave and Friends. Kevy, I want to thank you. You're my co-host.
Yeah, my brother.
Tessa, thank you. And Dr. Michelle, thank you.
Welcome.
This has been LATalkRadio.com, the best talk station in the world. Thank you guys so much. You have a wonderful, wonderful, beautiful Sunday. Bye-bye.